This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
And after that, I kind of went through this depression of like, what now? Now it's off the charts. Now I've got nothing. There's, you know, now I just have to work that hard again to get another song here.
Episode 431, songwriter, producer, Jordan Schmidt. All right, some of his number one songs include Jason Aldean's You Make It Easy.
You make it easy.
Mitchell Tenpenny's Drunk Me.
I've been sober.
Kane Brown, he's got a few. What Ifs.
What if the sky falls? Or the sun's
Bury Me in Georgia.
Bury Me in Georgia.
And Like I Love Country Music.
Baby, I love you like I love country music.
And then we'll just do one more. Blake Shelton's God's Country, which received a Grammy nomination and a CMA Single of the Year win. Boom.
Devil went down to Georgia, but he didn't stick around. This is God's country.
He earned himself a CMA Triple Play, which they haven't officially announced it, but it's one of the big awards in country music. 3 number ones in 1 year. He just finished up a bunch of songs for Tyler Hubbard, Mitchell Tenpenny. He writes, listen, the guy's awesome. He's a native of Duluth, Minnesota. Picked up the guitar at age 10. By 16, he was recording local artists where he was like kid producer, like kids can do the darndest things. 2012, moved to Nashville, and here he is. Singer, songwriter, dude, walker, talker, producer. Is that pretty much it?
That's it.
Shirt wearer. Here he is, Jordan Schmidt.
Jordan, good to meet you. Have we met?
I think I saw you at a party with their good friend Abby for the Wags and Walks thing.
So a party would not be an accurate representation of who I am. So what it was a charity event.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny how we see it differently because I'm like, you probably go and have a good time at things. Just generally, I don't. So
yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit of a hermit. So any going out of anything is a party to me.
My hours are so wrongly adjusted, meaning wake up at 3 a.m, that if it's at like 7, my party would be at 3 p.m., I think. Like, if I were to have a party, 100%. It'd be 3 p.m.
100%.
It'd be done by 5:30. Could have a nice, sensible dinner.
Go home and watch Beef on Netflix.
Yeah. You know what's funny about Beef is that my wife and I really like that show, but we watched like half of it, and then we never went back to it. But we really liked it.
Dude, you need to go. It That's gets weird so much crazier.
When you brought that up, Mike, have you seen Beef?
I watched half of it and did not go back to it.
And it wasn't because I didn't like it.
I just forgot about it.
Yeah, because like I don't know, and I don't want to spoil anything, but you know they have the camera, like the camera footage of him in the truck, or her in the truck,
like road rage incident.
Yeah, the road rage incident. Yeah.
No. It goes so much further beyond.
Yeah, we need to get into that then. So, but okay, that was your go-to.
Is it like right your favorite? Now? Oh, right now.
So you're watching it now.
Yeah,
we just watched a show called Bodies. Have you seen that?
What's that on?
Netflix.
What's it about?
Mike, you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Brett, I was talking to Brett Eldridge last night. He's one of my best friends, and we hadn't seen each other for a couple weeks, and we were just kind of debriefing. And I was like, dude, you ought to watch Bodies. He goes, I already watched Bodies. We don't need to talk about it anymore until we see each other.
Oh,
and I think it's like
I think it's a Marvel.
I think it's, Mike, if you look it up, I think it's like Marvel or
DC, I think.
I don't know the comic difference. Mm-hmm. I like them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's three different timelines where the same dead body is shown up, naked and dead in an alley. And it's, you're following the three cops in like 1890, 1940 today.
Oh, wow.
Dude, it's awesome.
Yeah.
If you like that stuff, have you seen Runaway Into the World? What's it called, Mike?
Leave the World Behind.
Yeah.
Yes, I just watched that. That's the, it's like new on Netflix, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, I just watched it. That was.
Thoughts?
It was really, it wasn't what I expected. You know, I do this new thing now where I don't like to read too much or see too much of a preview or any, you know, it's like, I'm like 10 seconds of a preview and I'm like, all right, I'm in, let's go.
Do you Rotten Tomato though, or IMDb?
I will. I do. Well, you know, like on Apple TV, it'll show up automatically. Sure. So, and you know, I try not to, pay too much attention to that because they've been wrong quite a bit.
And you can manipulate it because my show Breaking Bobby Bones has like 99% with thousands of votes. It's only because I told my audience to go and rate it high. Right, so it's very easy to manipulate. I'll never admit that.
You got a hit.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly that happened.
No, totally legit. Totally legit.
So, no, was it Snake in the Grass or Breaking Bobby Bones?
I think it was Snake in the Grass. No, it was Breaking Bobby Bones. Yeah.
What'd you think? Your review?
I loved it. It did not like go where I thought it was going to go. I thought it was going to be one thing, and it kind of turned into this whole craziness. So I loved it.
Me too. And I loved how I continued to think about it afterward. And I'm still thinking about it today, and I'm still thinking not so much about it, but what the scenarios would be, could be, how I would.
Right,
there's a world on TikTok about it's
yep,
like
yep.
I loved that. Oh, about
I get
it.
I get into that too, and then I you know I start prepping, and I'm like, okay, wait,
prepping as in for the end of the world.
Yeah, I'm like, quit prepping. We're not prepping. We're not going to survive.
I would laugh, but I've had my experiences of whenever the bird flu was about to be a big thing. I built up a whole closet.
Oh yeah.
Like waters, soups.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was, yeah. I'd spent now I want to build a bunker here.
Yeah.
There are codes apparently, like not a code to like start the game or get to cheat the final level, but like to the city.
Yeah.
And they're like not going to okay me putting a bunker in. So, but
they shouldn't know about that.
That's my point. The problem is you can kind of see some of the yard. And the neighbors, it's just if I'm going to spend all this money on a bunker and then I'm told halfway through and I've invested a bunch of money in a bunker that you can't do it anymore, then I just wasted all this money
right
building a secret bunker.
Right. Well, funny story. We, my wife and I bought a house on top of this hill, and it was, I mean, like the most beautiful view right above Richland Country Club. And, it was like we had to gut this thing and start over, but we just loved the view.
Did you live in it while you gutted it?
No. And we ended up selling it after we gutted it because it was like we had a kid on the way, and I was like, I'm not going to spend 2 years, you know, redoing a house. But while they were gutting it, one day there was a bookcase at the bottom of the stairs, and they took a sledgehammer to it, and the thing popped open. And there was a...
Sounds like a movie.
I mean, it was pretty scary. There was a giant bunker.
Oh, no way.
That looked like a murder scene. So I'm sitting here like, oh my God, we have a John Wayne Gacy home. There's bodies.
You found the hole where they were hiding the bodies or doing bad stuff to the bodies.
It was creepy. It happened. We called it the Mother's Day Massacre because it happened on Mother's Day. And like, we're like walking around the neighborhood like, what are we going to do? We can't live here. If people were murdered here, we can't live here.
Was there anything in it though? Because there was
red stains, and there was a weird, creepy chair and duct tape.
No way.
Yes. I mean, it looked so bad. And so we were like, okay, this is, you know, we're going to lose our money on this. This is so bad.
Yeah, no, you shut it back and never mentioned it. Like, they didn't do you. They didn't mention it to you. So,
but we ended up having the Nashville CSI team come out. And I mean, they were there the next day. They were like pumped. We like meet them there. I'm like scared.
You imagine? I'd be pumped too. All they're doing is like seeing if this was really Johnny Cash's guitar the day before. Right. Now they get to do a real murder.
But I was more like, I don't want to get in trouble if this is nothing.
Like I didn't do it, I promise.
Yeah, and they're like, no, 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 we have to come out to these things. We're kind of hoping it is, you know. I'm like, thanks.
So do they give you the results?
Yeah, so they went down, they luminol'd the whole thing. I mean, so when they went down, they're like, with their flashlights, they're like, oh, yeah, this looks bad. This looks really bad. And I'm like, oh, great, awesome. And they're asking us to stay out. And then they luminol, and it was nothing. It wasn't blood. It wasn't anything like that. And it turns out...
What's up with the tape in the chair, though?
It turns out it was a gun range.
Wait, below the house?
In this bunker. It must have been 30 yards long, all concrete. It had the, you know, the little slanted metal slat that you shoot against. And we later found out from some neighbors that they knew it was there because they had gone shooting down there. But the people we bought the house from, they did not know that it was there. So when they sold it,
did they ever live in it?
They lived in it for 11 years
and never knew it was there.
And I'm not even lying to you. I got this weird feeling from the house, and I just thought it was because, you know, it was like a big empty house. That's why I got this weird feeling. And after that room was discovered, feeling went away. Like it was like, I don't know. It's like you could just sense there was a secret about it. It was bizarre.
Did you get your money back on the house, or did you lose a little bit?
Yeah,
did you
make a little bit. It was nice. Great.
You lost a little bit.
Yeah, you know, because we ended up finding the house we wanted, and we bought that, you know, and the market's just kind of bad right now. So
timing got you a little bit.
Timing got us a little bit.
But it has to be, you know, a lot easier when you're wildly successful.
Well, I mean, easier, I don't know, but at least I can do it.
They haven't officially confirmed it yet since it's due in the spring, but the CMA triple play, and we've talked about it with some of the other folks that have come in. It's a very, very select few people that have gotten it. I mean, Nicole, I think, has gotten it. Gally, I mean, like four or five of the five.
I think Gorley is about to get one, or maybe he's gotten one.
I don't know. You may have to check that too, except he probably gets one a month.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, congratulations. I was just looking at the songs and the dates. Wait in the Truck, which was April 23rd. Bury Me in Georgia, September 10th. Watermelon Moonshine, October 15th. That's triple play right there.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It makes that bunker, that 10 grand loss on that bunker a lot easier. So are you, a couple questions. Are you, in your mind, in anyone's first layer of like my camp? And who would that be?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you start out in Nashville, you kind of, you know, you go out and you meet your people and you find the people you like writing with and the artists that are just coming up and kind of create your little clique. And so, like, you know, Mitchell Tenpenny, he's my homie. I started out in the Florida Georgia Line camp. So me and T-Hub and BK, like, we go way back. And, yeah, I mean, you know, those are like the core people. And there's like so many writers, Andy Albert and Hardy. I mean, Hardy and I go way back. And so we all kind of came up at the same time. So those are like my go-to people.
Whenever, you know, two of these cuts are Cane cuts, singles cuts and number ones.
Yeah.
But Wait in the Truck and Bury Me in Georgia. So are you and Cane on a personal level where he'd be like, I got an idea, let's do it? Or were you just happened? Was that just a timing thing where you just were working a lot together at that time?
No, Cane and I we're good buds. I love Cane. He is like, you know, I got to be there from the very beginning of Cane's career, and just to see how it's turned out. I'm like, I'm so happy that I knew him way back then, because I'd be way more intimidated by him now. You know,
that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like thankful for that because I do have a personal relationship with him where I can send him songs or, you know, whatever. And he can be like, oh, that sucks. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to hurt myself at least. You know, he's my buddy.
You're not going to go lock yourself in the dungeon at the house that you don't own anymore.
Right, right.
That's a good point about Cane. I love Cane.
Yeah.
Cane's my friend.
He's the best.
And early on, I didn't understand Cane.
That was, I think, a big thing early on for a lot of people. You know, he's just quiet.
He's so quiet, and you think somebody that has any success or talent or has a job that is very outward, like you almost don't – I would put Carrie in this category too,
mm-hmm.
a bit. You almost don't feel like and this is going to sound stupid, but like, wait, wait, you don't deserve to be quiet. You must just be mean.
Right.
You must just be stuck up.
Yeah.
But it is just not the case.
Right.
Like you said, I've, like Kane and I, well, that's like my dude.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or one of my dudes, you know, I mean, it's like a lot of dudes, but you know what I mean? But I would have thought Kane was just very much, I'm famous.
Right.
I don't want to get, I'm not going to be very generous with you with words. But then you realize he's actually just a kind, shy guy.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I knew him before he was, you know, I mean, he was still kind of like a viral thing, but nowhere near what he is now, and he has not changed one bit.
You're absolutely right. Which
he's been Kane.
Which is wild, because even I've changed.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to.
Yeah, I mean, look at my watch, you know, look at your watch, you know, look at those things.
Oh, I was looking at your watch, I saw that.
Yeah, don't rob me, man. So, congrats on that. Do you feel like, I guess as I was looking at your body of work, like a lot of your songs, because people know them, but Nashville is interesting because it's a lot of co-writing, and sometimes, unless you're really in it, you're writing with this person or you're writing with another person, it's kind of hard to identify the chain of all the work that you're producing at a level too that's really crazy. And the producer gets no shine.
Right.
Unless it's super industry related.
Right.
When did you feel like that page kind of turned for you where it was not you begging or asking to work with people, but people were asking you to work with them?
Man, that's a good question. You know, I guess like how I got my start was through the production. So, you know, I'm the track guy in the room. And, you know, that's like, I guess, the equivalent to a janitor when it comes to writing. You know, it's not the most glorious position. And people are quick to think, oh, yeah, he's just a track guy. Like, I've heard that before with other track people. You know, they're just track guy. And I love producing. That's, you know, it's I truly do love it, but I also love writing songs and lyrics. And I was obsessed with poetry as a kid and writing lyrics. And so it was always like at the beginning, now Nashville's kind of changing, but at the beginning it was like, oh, you're just a track guy. And I'd get in the room with these people and they'd be like, oh, you're not just a track guy. You can write. And, you know, I think that's after a couple number ones, people kind of start realizing that, you know, well, there's a common denominator in some of these. And every time I'm writing with him, he's contributing. And I guess it just kind of mentally for me, I'd say 4 years ago, started turning into this like, no, I'm a songwriter and I do the track. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of when it started turning, and now I think people know me as a writer.
And you're not having to call and be like, I'm just looking for somebody to write. Now, I would assume, just with your success, both production and writing, that people are trying to get in with you more than you're trying to get in with other people.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm always trying to get in with great artists, and a lot of them are my friends, and, you know, like, I want more rights with big artists and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I found that knocking on their door isn't as powerful as them knocking on your door. And I take the latter approach. I just would rather somebody say, hey, I want to work with him, you know.
What's your quintessential hustle story in Nashville, though? Because we've all had things. I used to fly to California every other weekend, and I would lie to them and tell them I lived there and go and do lunches or interviews for little spots on TV shows I've never seen. I mean, I was just going, I get flight sick. I mean, it was just miserable. I was tired. I was doing, but I would never tell anybody. I just wanted to exist. And so I was hustling. I was going to have 8 meetings a day, killing myself.
Right.
To me, on the TV side of it, like, that was my hustle story before I started to have some actual success in that space. What is like your Nashville hustle story?
I would say it was when I met BK from Florida Georgia Line. That was the first time that I was like, oh, like I'm scratching at the top, you know. And that was
where was he or where were they? Where was he?
They were just releasing the second record. So, you know.
So they popped hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just popped pretty hard.
Yep.
Really hard.
And so I was like, okay, I'm scratching at the surface of the top here, and And BK was looking for a track guy for his non-existent publishing company at the time. And my buddy hit him up on Twitter. He responded to my buddy. My buddy's like, here's his email address. Send him some songs. So I did that. And then I just didn't stop. I just song after song after song and just showing him how bad I wanted it. And, you know, that did lead to a publishing deal.
You were sending him songs?
Yeah, just songs that I'd done. And I was writing every day with whoever I could write with and sending him instrumentals for him to write to, just kind of showing him that I want it. And that was like the first, that was like the big hustle. That was 6 months of doing that constantly. You know, and then it all kind of, they opened up a bunch of doors and here we are.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
You're playing music, you're playing guitar at 10, 11 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah. How, why did you start playing guitar? Was somebody playing it around the house?
My parents were, they're both musicians. They had a cover band, like an 80s cover band growing up, and they were like the biggest thing in my hometown of Duluth, Minnesota. So I grew up going, watching them. I loved all that. I thought I wanted to be a rock star, fell in love with Blink-182, wanted to do that, you know, got into punk for a long time. And then I went out on one tour.
I said, did you ever do Warped Tour or anything there?
I mean, yeah, we played Warped Tour.
Like
followed
9 a.m.?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, did one tour and, you know, in a van with 6 disgusting dudes. And that was enough. I was like, no, I don't want to do this. And I was, I was like producing all the records we were doing out of necessity because Duluth didn't have a recording studio.
Were you doing it in your room?
Some of it. And then my dad was into recording. And so he was actually probably one of the first people in Minnesota to have a computer recording rig with Cubase. And so I kind of just would watch him work. And I mean, you know, he was trying to figure it out too, but he's kind of nerdy like me and he loved to try to figure it out. And then when he was at work, I would just sit there on that computer and play with sounds. And I started falling in love with that aspect of it. And so once I did that first tour, I was like, nope, that's what I want to do. I want to be on a computer. Yeah.
Or is it I don't want to be in a van traveling?
Maybe more of that.
Yeah.
But I know I want to be in music.
Whenever you were whenever you had the dreams of being in a band, were you what were you doing? Were you singing?
I was a front man. Yeah.
I was gonna ask if
yeah.
So but see that's odd that front man disease didn't stay. Like it's still not nestled somewhere in there.
You know, and it's so funny because like seeing my friends and some artists that I've worked with, you know, huge artists, I just see what they have to do. And I'm like, God, I would have hated that. Thank God that I did not go down that road.
Especially early on.
Oh my God.
Or I say early on, it could be all time if you never hit that level.
Right.
Because it's a grind.
It is a grind. And it is, you know, I think the what people see and what goes on are just two wildly different things.
I mean, it's like life, Instagram.
Right.
Always seeing what really happens.
100%.
Yeah. You know, again, there's just some parallels. You're way more talented than I am. But it's like I worked in pop and hip-hop, and I worked in alternative, and I did sports and do sports again. And I've always felt, and now it's becoming more normal, that, you know, genres only exist for the companies to be able to sell, right? It's not like we listen in any sort of boundary. But when you're talking about Blink being such an influence on you, and I was looking at some of the early stuff that you had produced, and it's like that Metro Station.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I used to love Metro Station.
Yeah, yeah.
And so were those guys local near you? How do you get with a Metro? Like, All Time Low, which the All Time Low stuff came back again last year because they were going after – I mean, everything on TikTok lives again.
Right.
Metro Station used to play a lot.
Yeah. You know,
they were shake. Yep. Yeah. Motion City Soundtrack.
That's how I met the Metro Station guys. And I just did that one song. And I hardly even met them, I think.
So, but they weren't like local guys.
No.
They were like,
Motion City Soundtrack was.
Oh, got it.
And so when I moved to Minneapolis, I got connected with them. And then through them, you know, I got to do a record with them, with Mark Hoppus from Blink-182.
Is that cool for you?
Oh my God, it was a dream come true.
What was that like?
I mean, he's incredible. He's so funny. He's exactly what you want Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 to be. And, you know, they always say don't meet your heroes, but he was one that like, yeah, he's a good dude.
I love Blink. Mike's a massive Blink fan.
Massive fan.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
One of the best concerts I've ever been to. Seeing him last year with Tom DeLonge back.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times have you seen them live?
That was the only time.
Got it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I saw them Pop Disaster Tour. I think that was 2001 or 2.
Them and Green Day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you handle yourself the first time? Do you tell yourself, I'm not going to geek out? Or do you go, hey, man, I'm just a massive fan?
What did I do? I think I tried to play it cool. But me playing it cool is like me being quiet.
It can be taken as not cool.
And then I hate myself because I'm like, you're not quiet. Shut up.
Yeah, and then when you're quiet, people can interpret a lot of different things.
Right.
Even with Kane, I'd be like, Kane is not nice.
Right.
But Kane's like, I'm going to be quiet because maybe they're not nice.
Right.
And then you're all confused on why everybody's acting. It's bad. I mean, that's the same thing I mentioned with Carrie. Like, I find on TV, Carrie is a ball of fire. She's funny, she's quick in person. And I do know her well enough now to know that she doesn't hate me.
Right.
She just doesn't talk.
Yep. Ryan Hurd was that way with me.
Oh, like, man. Ryan for sure.
For about 2 years, I was like, this guy hates me. And then one day he was like, you want to come over and play Golden Tee? And I was like,
that's exactly it.
We're friends. Hell
he's like, you want to play golf? And I'm like, with you? Or just like generally? And he's like, and then about the fourth time we'd hang out, I was like, this is just your baseline.
Yep.
I get it.
Love Ryan Hurd.
What would they say about you, though?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I love Ryan too, by the way. Ryan's like one of my favorites.
He's such a good dude. I have no idea. I mean,
like, as a dude, what do you think they would say about you? If I had Ryan here, I mean, I could call Ryan, but if you're here and he knows you're here, he's going to say things, he's going to be funny. But let's say you weren't here and I said, hey, tell me about Jordan. What would Ryan say?
I think he would say that, I think anybody I work with would say that I care about what we do when we're writing and producing, and I never phone it in. And that's kind of my baseline, is like, if you just never phone it in, you can always, I don't know, just because, like, when you have success, then you're like, it's because I worked so hard and I'm just going to keep working so hard and show everybody that, like, that's what I do and that's what I care about. And so a lot of people, especially like Ryan, he would definitely say, yeah, he, you know, he likes to go above and beyond because, you know, I'm the one nitpicking and editing, and, you know, Ryan will be like, it's fine, we got that line. And I'm like, eh, but do we, could it be better? Could we try this? Could we do, you know?
Do you feel like, cause I experienced some of those anxieties of, I feel like I've only gotten here because I've worked really hard and I'm not that talented.
Yeah.
I feel that way in my heart. My wife tries to talk me down. I mean, I'm going to therapy when this is over.
It's imposter.
Big time, right? So how much of that situation, like, that you brought up, is your sensibilities where you're like, you're perfectionist, you want to be how much of it is, God, if you're, I would say, fear. If I don't work harder and do even more than I think I should right now, maybe that's not enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way I feel is that if I phone stuff in and I get success, now it's pure chaos. You know what I mean? Where like, if I just try my hardest every time and there's success, I can say it's because of that. If it's happening no matter what I do, then it's like, wow, there is, you know, we are spinning out of control. There's nothing real. You know what I mean?
I do now. When you say that, it's almost like what's that purpose then? Because I'd understand if it's successful if I put work into it. But if I'm able to not do hard work and it blows up, what's the value of even hard work?
Exactly.
Why would anybody do hard? I would question that. Although, yeah, I would like to be able to question that. It'd be really cool if something happened easily for me.
I mean, I meet writers all the time, or artists, that it feels like they don't try very hard and it just works. And I'm kind of jealous of that, but
I wonder if they feel like they try hard, though. Maybe it's all...
Maybe.
Like, because, yeah, the hardest you've ever tried in your life is probably trying hard for you, regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If the hardest I've ever tried is me trying hard, but then you look at me and you're like, well, he doesn't really try that hard in comparison, so to you, it doesn't look like I try hard. But if to me, if I'm trying hard and it works out, I think that's what it is. But I guess it's just all relative.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I, you know, like, Ernest, he can walk into a room and he can... Mitchell was telling me he just did a vocal for Brooks and Dunn or something, and he walks into the studio, goes to the booth and just takes off his shirt and starts singing and, like, crushes it. And I'm like, God, I wish I could just be that guy, you know?
He
makes it look so easy.
I know,
easy.
And so many different things he does. And, like, even when he's, like, just doing his hip-hop stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same. It's a little bit, but it's not. But he's also so good at that. But you're right. But I'm going to take this back to something you said earlier. A lot of times we see people doing stuff easy, but we don't really see the stuff that's happening.
Right. Right.
The hard work.
It's the iceberg picture.
And the whole underneath the tip of the water, waste of time, is all of that.
Right. Well, I know people say that to me. They're like,
oh, I think that about you.
They'll say it about my production. Like, God, you just, like, you're so quick. Right. You know exactly what you're, and I'm like, in my head, I'm panic. Like, mm-hmm. Oh God, they're going to tell me, you know. I just heard a funny story about Kanye that my buddy was working with him and he played him a track and Kanye was like, this is the dopest track ever. You are a god. Everybody in the room, pay attention to this guy. And then he's like, play me another one. So he plays him another one and Kanye's like, you need to delete that right now. And he actually made him drag it to the trash, empty the trash. And he's like, you never wanted to play that for anybody, trust me. And I'm like, that's my fear. My fear is that everybody's going to Kanye me.
But what if you get the first Kanye, but you also get the second Kanye?
Well, that's
Are you back to even, or are you still ahead in your mind?
No, I'm like far below zero at that point. That that one negative interaction would cancel out like 100.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
you ever on my TikTok, you know, I have the things that I look at, so it feeds me music stuff, 90s wrestling stuff, sports stuff. I get a lot of Rick Rubin.
Oh yeah, love Rick.
Me too, because as I talk about people that have varied interests and styles and creation techniques, I mean, that guy has done it all from the Beastie Boys to Tom Petty, Wildflowers.
Right, right.
And I mean, every kind of thing in between. He doesn't look like he's supposed to look. He, you know, was this big, he's not as big anymore, but he'd be like this big, hairy, fat dude who's a
Santa
vegan.
Claus. Yeah.
Yeah. Who would he know me? So everything about him was wrong, at least from what you expected. But I love Rick Rubin because of that.
Yeah, and he, what I like about him is I feel like, I don't even know, like, you know, you're not going to read an interview or watch one where he's like, you know, technically I was sitting there, blah, blah, you know, it's like, I had to get into the artist's head, you know, that kind of thing where it's so much more of like this mental game and like connecting with people and creating a vibe. And, you know, I like to think I do the same thing.
And I'm going
to
ask you about that, the psychology of being a producer.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was leading. But you, before I forget this next thought, I was watching Rick Rubin talk about artists in general and when they create and how they base a lot of their worth on if it does well or if it doesn't. And I watched him for like 4 minutes talk about how he recommends that people create. When they create, it's a journal entry for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because regardless of how good it does, it's still an accurate representation of what you are and what you did.
Right.
And some journal entries are just more interesting than others.
Totally.
Even in life.
And like especially today with all the social media and TikTok driving the music business, it seems like.
Like weird algorithms that we don't know. Or
right.
Understand. Right.
And it's just kind of like, I feel like the days of like, oh, that song's a hit. I know it. I know it. I think it was like maybe Old Town Road that kind of busted that door down where it's like, who would have thought that was a hit? I mean, one of the biggest songs of the decade. Who would have thought that was it? Like, I don't think anybody would have called. I don't even think Lil Nas X would have called that, you know? And so I think now it's kind of opened this door to like, you know, there are obviously songs we know sound hitty, but I find most of the time those are the ones that don't do anything. And then, you know, the ones that to me didn't seem that hitty or seem weird or whatever, those ones become the ones. And so that happened to me with God's Country, where I didn't think it was that hitty. I thought it was really cool.
I was going to ask, is it because it felt, and I don't want to say different, because it does feel different. How would I just? Because the first time
like,
I heard it,
it was
too,
like dark.
It was like layered. It was like layered in a way of Wall of Sound type stuff back in like Wrecking Crew. But you had like Howls and
yeah.
It felt like that in a way that no other song felt.
Right.
Where I also was like, wow, I wonder if this was Blake, if it would have even been given a shot because it was so different.
I mean, it was supposed to be Hardy. I mean, when we left the room. And I sent him the demo. Hardy was like, you know, I want to hold this. This is for me. You know, and I was like, great. You know, job well done. And again, it's not that I didn't like it. I wouldn't have thought like, oh, that's a smash. You know, I'd have been like, that's a really cool song. And there's like different
You're right.
Categories.
Cool doesn't always equal commercially successful.
For the most part, it never does.
Right.
So especially when we're trying to call it. So, yeah, you know, there's just like, the days of, you know, and also because there's so much external pressure as far as the social media and kids driving numbers that make hits now, it's kind of turned into this, like, you know, the A&R job of like, I'm going to pick the hit and like, we're just going to have radio play it and they're going to...
You can force it. You can almost force a hit.
You
can
almost force it.
Right.
And, you know, obviously in the payola age way back when. But that's kind of gone. And it's like, now it's literally just, you're going to throw a demo out on TikTok. And if you start building numbers, that's a hit. And it doesn't matter what it sounds like. That could be a hit. So I can't remember where I was going with all that.
Well, the last thing about the Rick Rubin stuff is that that's exactly what he was saying was you. It's more unpredictable now than ever before because everybody has a shot, but also nobody has a really good shot anymore, even if it's great.
Crazy.
But some people that have bad stuff have a good shot. So it's so unpredictable that as long as you're doing what you're doing for you,
yep,
like that's it, and you just have to move to the next page if it doesn't work.
100%. And that's, yes, that's how I feel. That's exactly what Rick Rubin does. I feel like that's, I get that. I'm the same way. Like, let's just make what we think is great. The world will decide if it's great or not.
And because they decide nothing, it doesn't mean it's not.
100%. Yeah, it's just, it is what it is. And there are records I've done that, you know, nobody's ever heard of. And I'm like, that's one of my favorite records mm-hmm. I've ever done.
You ever have to get into the confidence of an artist and be like, hey, like, you're actually good. Like, if they have what we're talking about, a little bit of imposter syndrome, and it's now time for them to perform, and they're maybe not getting to that level that you know they can get, do you ever have to get them with some Coach K type stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially having friends that I've now seen that have started at the bottom and blown up. You know, there have been those moments where it's like, we're almost like having an intervention, like, you okay, man? Like, you're doing it. You're okay. You know, and just keep doing what you've been doing. And you know, it's so funny because you get there through all this confidence that you don't really realize is false confidence until you're there. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, God, I have no idea what I'm doing.
To me, it's, oh, my God, I've gotten to this place. Now I'm going to be really exposed because of where I am and how high, and I'm really not that good.
Yeah.
So it's different if I'm not good at a lower level. Right. But now that I've somehow managed to get here mm-hmm. and they find out how good I'm really not, it's going to be even worse because I'm about to be exposed.
Going to get Kanye'd, man.
Like, that's what comes out of me when you say that, because that's what I feel like.
Totally.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I didn't feel like that, if I would have been as driven to be in the same exact spot.
Yeah, I get that. And then there's, I think when I had my first number one, I kind of like, I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is what we're here doing this for.
What was the first one for you?
Lights Come On by Jason Aldean. And after that, I kind of went through this depression of like, what now? Now it's off the charts. Now I've got nothing. There's, you know, now I just have to work that hard again to get another song here. And like realizing how much had to come, how the stars had to align for this song to make it to the top of the charts. And it just kind of, I don't know, it made me kind of go inward a little bit and not as confident, I guess, as some people.
Which
when
is
like,
weird because people would think it'd be the opposite.
Right. Like, and so I've seen some people do it where they get one and they're like, I'm the man. And
that's so weird to me because I wish I had that.
Oh, I do too. It would have been
like, I'm jealous of that more than I'm a hater of that. I used to be a hater of that.
Yep, me too.
And be like, oh, now I wish I had just a little tinge of blind confidence.
Yep. But now I think it's been long enough and consistent enough for me to go, okay, well, I do know what I'm talking about, but also I know that I don't know what I'm talking about. And so I'm not going to sit there and be the boss or the bully in the room. But I'm also not, you know, going to sit there and take it from somebody who thinks, sure. You know what I mean?
Especially with your body of success. Even if every time that happens, you're like, oh, I can't believe that happened. But if it happens nine times, eventually the logical part of you has got to be like, even if it's weird to me, there's been a lot of success here. So obviously some part of me, some innate part of me is on.
Right.
In some way.
Right.
So I do understand how you could be both at the same time, but I think it would be difficult for someone to understand, wait, you just got a number one and now you're doubting yourself?
Yeah.
That's...
No, it's really funny because like I'll write with, you know, Josh Osborne or Ashley Gorley, you know, these guys have countless number ones and they get in a room and they're not like, well, this is what it is. This is what we're doing here. You know, it's like, what kind of ideas we got? Oh, that's cool.
Which is why they're so good, honestly.
Right.
The exact opposite.
And they're pulling from everybody and they're co-writing. And, you know, I respect that. And that's where I hope to, I hope people would say that about me, that I'm that way. I like to think I am.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams add up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
I want to talk about Lainey for a second.
Yeah.
I was, again, very fortunate to know Lainey before anything happened, because she's so nice. She came over to my house once to show me how to do a dance to something. I just finished Dancing with the Stars, and but it was before Blanco's song had hit, but she was doing the video. She was in the video with him dancing in a parking lot, and I just messaged her, and I was like, hey, because I didn't know her from her music. I just knew her from dancing with Blanco Brown.
That's amazing.
And I said, hey, my name's Bobby. She was like, I know who you are. And I was like, can you show me how to do this dance? She was like, yeah. When? I was like, I don't know. What do you preach? She was like, tomorrow, next day, whatever. She came over. We became friends. This is 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about somebody that has, you've seen them actually go from nothing on the career path to me, it's Lainey more than almost anybody, because I've just had a close relationship with her the entire time.
Yeah.
Before she put out her record, I had her come play our big $1 million show at the Ryman, and she did Queen, Fat Bottom Girls, and I was just a big fan of her. And to watch her blow up has been awesome. But what's her confidence level like when you're in a room with her?
Oh, I mean, she's the coolest. She's so humble. And she hasn't changed. And that's, you know, like, I started writing with her very early on. And hasn't changed. She's Lainey. She is just salt of the earth, nicest human. Like, everything that's happened with her, I'm very proud of her. And there's truly nobody that deserves it more than her.
I mean, I don't see her anymore.
I mean,
that's,
I don't
that's
either.
That's the name of the game. I mean, yeah.
She's remember, too famous for us now.
She came over.
It's not her fault. She's just
right.
awesome.
And there's a cycle. You know, everybody blows up. You're kind of floating and not able to prioritize properly because it's the first time it's ever happened.
Right.
Happened to me for a bit too.
Yeah,
I just kind of got lost.
Yep.
But Lainey's, I don't worry about her.
No.
And she's got her family.
She's just busy because
yes.
she's
and she's
in that
always hustled
season.
So much. Yeah.
Yep.
She came over to the house and we recorded a song because I just the comedy stuff. And I wrote a song because we were going to open for Garth had asked me to come open and do my comedy stuff in Razorback Stadium. It was like 100,000 people.
That's amazing.
It was awesome, right? It was a really great thing for me. And I, most things I'm like, this is just crazy. I'm not even going to enjoy it because it's so stupid. But that was like a really cool thing. Like Garth called and asked me to do it. And so, but I still felt, because I write jokes from a place of being scared or fear or being insignificant, but you wouldn't know that. So I wrote this song called Nobody Cares About the Opening Act because I felt like nobody was going to care about me when I was up there.
It's an amazing title.
So I wrote, Nobody Cares About the Opening Act, whatever. And I called Lainey and I was like, hey, do you want to write a verse for this and sing it? Because she knew as well as anyone what it's like to go and have nobody care, right?
Right.
And so she came over. And my point is, when she's singing and she's laying down, she wrote, it was so funny. She didn't even ask for help with the jokes of the song. It was so funny. But she'd be like, okay, is that good? Should I re-sing this? And we're like, you're the pro.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you've even done the funny stuff that we think we're good at, and you've even nailed that.
Yeah.
So
just a talent.
Just really exciting to see that happen to her. And
how'd that show go, by the way?
It was, and I don't like anything. Yeah. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was really the cool. That's my home, and that's also Garth Brooks, and it's my favorite place. My favorite place in the whole world is Razorback Stadium, Arkansas football.
Do you
games.
Think you peaked there, at that moment?
No.
No, you're constantly peaking.
No, I peaked way before that. Yeah, no, there was a peak. I've already peaked. So
that's what I say.
Yeah, we're done there. I'm just gonna try to stay on the top-ish part of the mountain.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Hitty for a long
100%.
Time.
Himalayas.
Before you and I started this, I went through a lot of like your body of work, and Mike and I were talking about some of your songs. If I were to say, and best can be interpreted anyway, but what's the best song that you've ever produced because you love how it freaking sounds?
I would have to say it would be Drunk Me with Mitchell. That was like the first, like, I'm going to try so hard because Mitchell promised me this was going to be on radio. He promised me this was going to be a number one. And I sat there at Las Palmas with him like, this guy's crazy, but okay. And so I tried, and I, that was when it, that kind of set the bar for me. And, I'd have to say Drunk Me.
What about the writing? What, it doesn't have to be a whole song, but like, what's something that you can hear back and be like, God dang, I nailed that.
I mean, I would say Watermelon Moonshine. But Josh Keir was kind of the main driver of that one. I'm just proud that he let me
even a line. Even a line. We were talking with Dolly a month or so ago, and she has lines that she remembers writing, just lines out of songs, and that she's like, this line in this song was so funny and so good, and it still works. Do you have anything like that where you're like, man, this line in this song I'm so proud of?
I mean, honestly, I'd have to go back to Drunk Me. It was the whole, we didn't have the title or anything. And we were kind of writing it from verse, you know, which I look back at now and I'm like, oh, that's so crazy to think we didn't have a title and we're just writing a song. That's so anti-Nashville. But we kind of get to the end of the chorus and we're like, okay, what is the line? And, I went to the bathroom and I'm sitting there peeing and I'm like, drunk me can't get over you. And I like, I don't even think I zipped up all the way. I'm like running in. I'm like, drunk me can't get over you. Drunk me can't get over you. And they're like, oh, that's it. And that, you know, that was just like this moment where it was, I felt like the hero.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
I want to talk about your wife for a second. This was totally random. I swear to God, I had no idea that one, you two are married.
Well, you shouldn't have done it.
I know. But she told me you would never know. So I was on Instagram this morning just flipping through stuff. And I don't always look at my tags because sometimes either they can be too mean or way too nice, or it's just people trying to get a song. It's right. 5,000 people going, right. Listen to this song. And I was in a commercial break or something. And usually we're working, but I flipped over. And I was just interested because she was holding up those white sheets of paper, kind of like music video.
Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the Love movie with Hugh Grant. Where they
Love Actually.
Yeah. Because the other one's like Subterranean Homesick Blues, or Subterranean, the Bob Dylan song, Subterranean, whatever. She's holding up the paper. And I'm like, oh, I'll watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on silent because I need text because I keep to, and so whatever. And she's like, oh, I have dreams. I want to do this and this and this. And I was like, oh, good for her. I hope she goes to Opry. That'd be cool if she could do that. And then she said, be a guest on the Bobby Bones Show. And I was like, wait, I can affect that.
That's amazing.
That's literally what I thought. I didn't even know that today. I thought tomorrow was the day you were coming over. My schedule's so weird. I just kind of wake up and I'm told, like, I prepare for it, but I don't really know. Sometimes I just get dragged over to it. And so... And Mike can vouch for me. So I text Abby Smyers, who we're very close with the Smyers.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife and Abby are very close.
We were over at their house on New Year's.
So I say, hey, is she nice? I didn't even say, is she good? But I was like, is she nice? And because I saw that she had commented on the post.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference in Nashville commenting and friend commenting.
Right.
A lot of people now, oh, clap, clap, you slay, girl. And you don't even really need
Right.
But she's like, no, she's one of my best friends. Like, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I said, I would ask you if she's any good, but I can't ask you that since she's one of your best friends. And she said, okay, but she's good. And she goes, and her music, not only can she sing really well live, her music's always produced really well because her husband. And I was like, her husband? And she was like, oh my God, this is the weirdest thing ever. And so I called her. I got a number from Abby this morning. I said, don't tell her because I may not call her.
Oh, that's crazy.
And because I was like, it was all just a time thing too, if I had enough time. And we were doing our podcast, and I may not call her, so don't say anything. And I've known Abby long enough. I knew she wouldn't. And so I just call, and she doesn't answer because my number just shows up as a random. And then I leave a message, and I feel stupid leaving it. I'm like, hey, it's Bobby Bones. and she calls back, and I was like, hey, you've been vouched for by people that I respect and admire. And I'm not a big energy guy, but I'm a big believer in sharing your goals because people will actually help you.
Totally, totally.
And I was like, I can affect this, so come up.
Yep.
And you are here today.
It's weird.
Dude, that's crazy. Weird. And I don't believe, like, that's like next level stuff that I don't really think it's next level, but I think it's like, what a wonderful
serendipitous
just turn of everything.
Yeah.
That, because I like if people like stick their neck out for me, like I always appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to like affect things if I can. It had nothing to do with you, and you're here today. And I'm not even bringing her on this podcast because she's having her own spot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know,
yeah,
and I was like, you know, and so you're not coming on. But that's the reason she's not coming. What the heck is that? Front porch. Oh, let's see what this is. So I do during an interview. I don't think my wife's here. Hello?
Is this a special guest I was promised?
Yes. Come on in.
The third
Hulk
person
Hogan.
Moved into all
yes.
this.
Yes. Come on in, Tom DeLonge. I didn't even want to bring her. I'm glad she's here because I never met her.
That's awesome.
But I didn't want to bring her on because I didn't want this to be her moment.
Well, and I mean, she would outshine me. She's a lot funnier. And
dude, my wife's the same freaking
a lot wittier.
It drives
and it
me crazy.
Me off. I can't take
like,
it.
Like, for what I'm celebrated for, she's better than.
Yeah. 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 So I'm very happy. I thought she was going to get a mic and I was like, well, there goes my interview.
Well, it was not because of you. It's mostly because I want her to have her own.
No, that's good.
Her own spot.
Yeah,
but
no,
you only married a couple years, right?
Yeah.
2022?
Yep.
We married 2022.
We got 2022.
Dude, years are all off. It's okay if you right now.
Yeah. And then we immediately got pregnant, like immediately. And kind of by accident, and now we're parents, and it's awesome. But yeah, so we celebrated our 1 month or our 1 year anniversary with a baby.
It's a tough question to ask because it's a very loaded question, and there's an answer that you have to give. But how? What's it like being a parent? I'm not.
I love it.
Listen, I've always wanted to have kids at some point.
Uh-huh.
I'm petrified to have kids because of I didn't have a model. I didn't have a dad.
Yeah.
I didn't have parents. I didn't have, so I saw none of that. I don't know successful unit. I don't know successful raising kids. I don't know successful being raised as a kid. So I have this, I'm not going to say irrational, but I do have this fear.
Oh, totally.
That's going to happen again, but I'm going to be the other side of it.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I mean, I did have parents and I was still terrified.
What's awesome about it though? Like really? Because it just seems like a lot of work and I'm going to screw it up.
It's a lot of work. But the first time you see your kids smile at you, God, I get choked up even just thinking. I mean, it's like that. It's that kind of stuff where it's like, I've never been a guy that gets choked up on an interview with Bobby Bones. And here I am like, oh God, I love my kid. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's realizing that you created something that is going to outlive you. And is going to affect the world, hopefully in a good way, long after you're gone. And, you know, it's kind of like I'm used to making records, which I hope live on forever. But, you know, obviously there's going to be trillions of records made after I'm gone. So it's kind of a fool's errand to think that you can create something that will live on forever. And I feel like that's like the closest we can come to having something live on forever and, you know, spreading your genes and your DNA and hopefully your good parenting and creating, you know, I think a lot of times too with where we're at in you know, society right now. Everyone's kind of just screaming at each other, like, you be different, you know, whatever. And it's like, I'm not going to waste my time telling other people how to be. I'm just going to tell my kid how they should be. And hopefully that kind of just spreads.
Then let me end on this. What's up with Instagram? I don't even see what you're gone.
Yeah, I'm not on anything. Yeah, just like you, what you said earlier, you know, you kind of just start seeing the negativity and you know, I'm like, I'm stoked. I put everything I had into this song and it gets released and then I go look at the comments like, this sucks. I hate this. Like, this goes hard on mute, you know, that kind of stuff. And you're just like, that sucks. Like, I work so hard on this. Just like,
and even though, you know, because you're speaking out of my mouth, I feel, even though I know those people have nothing to do, they have not,
it hurts.
It still sucks. Even having complete rational thought with
right.
that, you still, it still sucks.
Right. And then it blinds you to the, I love this. Oh my God, this saved my life. Like, you know, it's like, yeah. Okay. But that guy, he said it sucks, you know, and it, so for me, it was too much focus on that. You know, and also like 2020 was a weird time with the whole internet and I just the canceling and the this and they can't say this, can't say that, you know, you have to do this. You have to, and it was just like, all right, I just love making music. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on being a good husband. I'm going to focus on being the person that I want to be. And honestly, there's nothing I miss about social media. There's nothing. And I get it through her. Like I see my wife's, you know, she'll show me stuff on Instagram and I don't feel like I'm out of the loop really on anything.
You are. We're all talking about it on this.
Well,
but you're not there to hear it.
I know,
but it's really the conversation is how out of touch you are with us,
it's amazing.
You know, the kids. Man, congratulations on just maintaining like consistency, like quality consistency.
Well, I appreciate it. That's what I'm going for.
Because that's the hardest thing.
It is. It's very hard.
It's also hard to have quality and consistency, but it's easier to do that than it is to have quality consistency.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that's what I think of when I think of you. And I don't know you, but obviously living in this town and having friends that know friends and know friends, like that's always been my association with you as like a guy who does it well and moves on to do the next thing well. And if it happens to be freaking great, awesome. And if it happens to be a little less than well, that's okay too. But
yeah,
you're going to do a good job. It's going to have all the effort in it.
Yeah.
And so that's always what I felt about you even before knowing you. But now after I met you, I don't believe that at all. You're just a loser.
Well, sorry.
Yeah. You can't follow him anywhere unless you leave my house and follow him home. So I haven't, but really, it's been really cool for me to get to hang out. And it's just so weird that I called your wife this morning to be like, come on my show. And it's the day you're coming to my house.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. I called your wife today too, but she didn't pick up.
No, you texted her a picture and she said it was unzipped like drunk me. And she was like, tell him not to do that anymore.
Bobby, he's got to quit.
Yes. Jordan, thank you. And this has been awesome. And I purposefully, Renee did not bring you on.
Well, thank you.
She's sitting right beside me. Yeah. She was like, am I sitting too close to you when we do this interview? And I was like, not to me. Maybe you think you're too close. Maybe, am I that weird? Like, Renee, we'll do this a different time. Awesome. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.